your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to WNRN. It is Sunday, the last Sunday in the month of January. We're already 29 days into 2012, and I can still remember when it was party in 1999. Our guests today, famous guests who've been in before to talk about the topic that is so important, we need to let everybody know what's happening here in 2012. Over from the corner, on my left, Jim Duncan. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. Over and stuck actually in the corner by the window, Matt Hodges. Matt?
Buenos dias.
And buenos dias. Now, I was listening to another radio station this morning talking about Hispanics and the troubles down in Alabama. I might have to do a show on that sometime soon. I don't know how your Spanish is, Matt. Maybe you can come on and help me with that.
Un poco.
All right, we are going to be talking about real estate, lending, how some of that affects our economy with our guest, Jim Duncan, who is from Nest Realty, Matt Hodges, Presidential Mortgage Group, and the Compass Home Loans Division. That's a long phrase. Can I turn that down just a bit?
Presidential's fine.
Presidential. All right, so, guys, it's, you know, it's an easy start to the program. But what's happening in the local economy with the real estate market? Jim?
I think cautious optimism is really kind of what we're seeing in the first 4 weeks of the year. From a buyer standpoint, a lot of good realtors are seeing significant buyer activity, something we haven't seen in years. I think that there's a significant amount of pent-up demand from buyers who are finally just tired of renting, tired of waiting, and are ready to get off the proverbial fence and buy. You're also seeing sellers becoming realistic, who are recognizing that, you know, their house is not worth, you know, what they wanted or needed, and are finally putting on the market at reasonable prices. And you're also seeing sellers who have been waiting for years for the market to, you know, show some signs of stabilization, and they are actually putting their houses on the market at reasonable prices. You know, from a local Charlottesville MSA real estate standpoint, I don't think we're at the bottom per se, but to be honest, we're not going to know when and where bottom is or was until we have 18 months of hindsight.
But what qualifies as a reasonable price? I mean, isn't that part of the situation, is determining and defining what a reasonable price is compared to what it was in 2000 and 2005 and certainly in 2009?
That's a good question. Reasonable means that, you know, buyers want to buy it, frankly, and that they're able to buy it, that they're qualified to buy it, and that they see the value of buying versus renting. I think that there are, you know, if there are 600 transactions in Charlottesville in January, there are 600 valuations that are deemed to be reasonable. So it's really difficult to determine, but what we're seeing consistently across a lot of different conversations I'm having is that there are a lot of buyers out there who are looking more vigorously, with more intent and more conviction than we've seen in 5 or 6 years.
All right, so let's define reasonable by a number.
Blue.
Not a color, a number. Sales in 2000 versus 2009, and we were talking about what January for 2012 might be, but give me an expectation about the high end of the market, the low end of the market, and where we might be going. And then, Matt, I want you to do that in terms of loans and et cetera.
Well, I think that, you know, it's hard to put a number on it, but I think that, you know, if you look just at Charlottesville area, you know, again, without having the numbers, you know, the hard numbers in front of me, I think you're looking at a couple hundred per month. But I think that the actual hard number is less relevant than a consistency of numbers, and that falls in line with the, you know, the 10-15 year average. When you look at the graph, and I'll put this up on Real Central VA later, but you look at the graph of 04, 05, 06, 07, it was extraordinary increases in the number of transactions.
The hockey stick look?
Exactly. You know, and we need to not have that again, realistically. We need to see just a balance of transactions. And we're trying to find out what that proverbial new normal of transactions is. And again, it's what that is when the average home buyer is willing to buy a house.
And Matt, does that apply the same way to for loans and lenders? Because I think for many people, the belief was that for each house didn't always have one person buying it, that if you sold 10 properties, there weren't 10 different individual loans, that there were people wealthy enough to be buying multiple properties.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In our marketplace, we see a greater percentage of cash deals than you see in many markets. And it's because Alamar County is a desirable place to live, that there are affluent people that come here. But really, we don't see a lot of that. And I can't speak for anyone else other than me. But what we see in the marketplace right now is buyers coming in, let's say, the 250s as an average sales price with an average loan amount of 217. We do loans all the way up to 417, which is the conforming loan limit. We do them down to, you know, 80,000 and less. There is a wide range. One of the things that Jim mentioned earlier was the rental impact. As rents are increasing and increasing and increasing, buyers come out because it is more economically advantageous for them to buy now, especially with the interest rates being so low. You know, I hate to use the term historically low over and over again, but we haven't seen interest rates sub 4 and stay there for conventional, for VA, for FHA loans ever.
And I think that realistically as well, the interest rates in a lot of ways are kind of irrelevant because they've been low for, what, 2, 3, 4 years? I mean,
yeah.
They've been at continuous historical lows for 5% years.
5% or less.
And, you know, I look back to when I bought my first house, I think 2001, 2000, and the rates were 8 1/8. I look back to when my parents in the early 80s were still selling real estate and they were 17, 18, 19%. So I think that, yeah, it's absurd. But I think that if, you know, 4, 4.25, 4.5, from my perspective, you know, seeing this every day, that's ridiculously low. So I don't think that interest rates are going to matter until they start to go up and stay up to 5, 5.5, 6, 6.5, 7%. And I think that eventually they will get back to that point. But what you're seeing now is I say that I have a very limited worldview just through the eyes of my clients and what I read. But the buyers today that I'm working with are not looking at homes for the 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 year time frame. Most of my buyer clients are looking at it from a 7, 10, 15, 30 year timeline. So they're just looking. So they don't, you know, if they buy a house for $450,000, if in 3 years it's worth 4.25, they don't care, because they're planning to be there for 30 years. So, you know, the interest rates now are, you know, phenomenal rates that allow people to have as much stability as they can plan for the lifetime of their time in that home, for the time when they raise their children, when they know what those fixed costs are going to be. People are really pleading for and reaching for stability.
Thanks for listening. This is WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, talking about the real estate market and the economy that goes along with that. Jim Duncan, Nest Realty, Matt Hodges, Presidential Mortgage. Feel free to give us a call in a little bit. We will open the phone lines in a few moments. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let me give a special thanks to those listening on Richmond's 103.1 and the support from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. That's where your happiness is their priority. At Blue Ridge, you can return gear and apparel purchases at any time for any reason. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville. They have 3 locations in Richmond. For more store information online, it's brms.com. Guys, we're talking about real estate sales and numbers and loan rates. the market is down, whether you consider it to be bottomed out, still going down, starting to go up, but how does the real estate market affect the economy? We seem to talk about it a lot from the other way around, and how the economy affects the real estate market. But they seem intertwined to me. And, you know, let me say this, and I'll say it again. I'm an unknown idiot on the topic. You know, we're out front. Matt's talking about, you know, tossing out FED, DFA, April, you know, and I'm like, what in the world is that? So, for me, teach me.
Let me take a stab at this. I mean, when you, again, the realtor associations could probably, you know, say this much more articulately. But from my perspective, every real estate transaction creates jobs. It creates activity. It creates economic activity. You know, you look at, you know, when one home goes under contract, you're looking at a home inspector, a radon inspector, attorneys, realtors, contractors who are fixing stuff that's found in the home inspection, and other stuff that I can't think about right now. I mean, so you're looking at, you know, 4, 5, 7 different trades are affected. And so that's just on the resale standpoint. On the new construction standpoint, you're seeing, you know, more contractors. I mean, that's one of the hardest hit segments of the entire economy, locally and nationwide, that the new construction economy is starting to pick up and has been doing fairly well in our market for the last, let's say, 18 months to 2.5 years. So that's been something that's really bolstered the economic activity in our area. It's certainly not back to 05, 06 levels, and frankly, I hope we don't get back to those levels where people are just building and throwing up as many houses as possible. So it's just the housing segment of the economy. You know, I don't know if it's going to lead us out of our recession, but it's certainly in getting to a point where hopefully it's going to not hurt it as much as it has for the past 5 years.
Let me tackle that from outside of the purchase world and just the refinancing portion. If we look back to what the government has done in terms of HARP refinancing, so both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have this advantaged program where if you're underwater or you're above 80% loan to value, you can refinance at very favorable terms without new mortgage insurance and above, you know, 100% loan to value. What that does for our economy is it keeps it stable. One of the things that Jim mentioned earlier was stability. And that allows us to have more cash, more disposable cash, by having a lower payment on a monthly basis, and therefore being able to stimulate to some degree what the economy looks like. Further, it keeps people in houses without having foreclosures. If you have a payment, in one case with a client yesterday, we're going to save over $500 on a monthly basis. If you've got that ability, then you've got a much better chance of making your mortgage payments on time and not having that foreclosure occur in the future.
Is a college town different, though? I mean, you really don't have to do much homework to hear it on the news, to see it as a headline in the paper about the local, the national, however you want to talk about the market. Is a college town like the Charlottesville-Albemarle area experiencing different effects, results, than you would in Richmond? Where else can I look? You know, however national you want to go.
Mm-hmm. I think that the college town does offer some, you know, some protection, and I hesitate to use that word because for years we thought that Charlottesville was, you know, isolated, insulated. We wouldn't have these problems. But I think that the college town provides, it provides the demand. People want to come to Charlottesville and Albemarle and the surrounding area because of UVA and their impact. So it provides the draw for people to come. They want to move here. I mean, I have, you know, many clients who choose to move to our area without having to switch to change jobs. They're keeping their jobs where they are, but they want to be around the cultural, the societal, the climate, the things that are here. You know, the college town does bring those people in. To look at it from a slightly different negative perspective is for years we would have people who would, you know, come in, the medical residents, law students, JAG, you know, people associated with short-term stints at UVA, they would buy homes. And I wrote a story last year where I referred to them as the 0 to 5 buyers. Those people who are coming in and buying for 0 to 5 years and then selling, that entire segment is gone. You know, they're just not buying. And that tended to be the sub 265, 275 price point in a relatively small radius around the university. So that whole segment of buyers are gone.
Is that because of decisions that they've made or because the houses aren't at that price anymore?
Yes.
The big problem was that if you're assuming you're going to be at Darden or Law for 2 or 3 years, you need to make a 9% appreciation on that property. Figure you've got 3% in closing costs coming in and 6% in realtor commissions going out. It's got to appreciate by that amount. In the heyday, it was, but not since, 07, 08.
Yeah. So, again, I think that, all that being said, the segment of the economy of people who are coming in and they know with relative confidence that they have that stability to be somewhere for 7, 10, 15 years. The college town aspect does provide stability, desire, draw, et cetera, that keeps people coming, choosing to live in Charlotte Albemarle. Whereas a lot of places, they happen to go there. They end up there. We still are a destination location.
But are we still insulated, isolated?
No, not even close. I mean, we're lucky to have the university, and even with depending on whom you speak, they have hiring freezes, and some are saying they're hiring increases. We have NJIC and DIA, and again, same conversation there. In State Farm, we have some fairly stable large employers. They're really serving to bolster our economy, but by no stretch are we insulated.
11:18 here on the Wake Up Call. Our guests today, Matt Hodges from Presidential Mortgage, Jim Duncan from Nest Realty, as we talk about the real estate market. Let's see, markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley, mostly sunny and windy today, about a 20% chance of showers, highs in the low 50s, a little cooler in the valley. And then tonight, partly cloudy, potential rain and flurry mix over in the valley, lows 25 to 30. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs 50 to 55. Right now, it's 36 in the valley, 41 in Lynchburg, few clouds and 45 in Richmond, and 39 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And today's programming also supported by Dixon Disposal. Dixon reminds you that you can reduce household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. Small changes in your lifestyle can keep our planet green for years to come. And with Dixon, there isn't any sorting or separating. You can put trash in one can and let them do the rest. Dixon also offers single stream recycling. For more info, it's DixonDisposal.com or 434-978-2111. Again, we are talking about the real estate market with Jim Duncan and Matt Hodges. Guys, I think Monday's Daily Progress had an article with some statistics in it. Is the local real estate market getting better or worse? What's happening? A number on the home sales and the median prices. One of the things that caught my eye, foreclosures in this area. Again, we're talking about, I think, what many people, if you're not specifically affected, for many people, surprised that there's 10% on foreclosure in this area. Jim, I think I even saw your name in that article as someone who was quoted. You want to speak to that?
I think here's how I break down our market. And I try to categorize it. I see it as my role with my clients, especially to educate them, so they know where a property they see falls into which one of these categories. I'd say that we have 15 to 20, I think, is probably a more accurate number of short sales and foreclosures. Distressed properties. We have 25% are overpriced properties where just the sellers are asking for an unrealistic number. You have 20-25% of properties that just are functionally obsolete. My clients are going to walk in and say, yeah, there's no way. For no price will I buy this property. And I think that's an unfortunately large segment of our housing inventory. And then you have about 15-25% maybe that are properties that are coming on and are moving with really great expediency. You know, they're going under contract in under 2, 3, 4 weeks. So again, I think that's how I break down the market. But to the short sales and foreclosures, yeah, I mean, I think that you're looking at 10 to 20% is a more realistic number of what we're actually seeing. And it's a very historically been a very difficult thing for us to track. You know, it wasn't until 2 or 3 years ago that our MLS actually had the ability to designate whether a closing was a short sale or a foreclosure. You know, it's I think we've responded to that segment far too slowly, whereas other parts of the state recognized it because they had more volume that they were dealing with, and so they responded much more quickly. But, you know, all that being said, the short sales, they are still a significant portion of our market. Foreclosures, I think, I'd like to think they're going to slow down this year. I think they're probably going to stay stable or maybe even increase a little bit. I don't see them going away for the next year or two, or maybe 3 or 4.
979-0919. We'll open up the phone lines now. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's toll free. You can also send me an instant message, WNRN Studio, on the AOL site. Matt?
Yeah, Rick, I just wanted to add to the previous conversation. There's estimates of somewhere around 1.6 million units across the country that are shadow inventory. Shadow inventory indicates those properties that have already been foreclosed upon but are not back in the individual MLS of the local community. Don't know how accurate that is. I tried to do some research on it just in the county of Albemarle late last week.
Explain that a little more to me. Shadow inventory, you're saying that it's been foreclosed upon but is not being counted in any way?
It's being counted, but it's not transparent, and it's not back into the properties that are listed for sale. They are sitting vacant, or they've got a squatter, or the previous foreclosed upon owner is still in the property.
So if there's 1,000 properties in Charlottesville, obviously that's a ridiculously low number, but if there's 1,000 properties in our area, there could be another 50 that aren't included in that number, why wouldn't they be?
Why wouldn't they be in the system yet? It's because the owners of those mortgages do not want to flood the market and depress pricing. That's one of the big issues. I did some research. I looked at, I think, the top 15 lenders. There were 14 bank-owned properties. That is not accurate. Only 14 are in the tax records of Albemarle County as being on that lender's REO, real estate owned inventory. Most still are in the owner's name prior to the foreclosure. So the issue with shadow inventory is not even that we can identify it. We don't even know what bank-owned properties there are. You'd have to follow literally every courthouse transaction to see when a foreclosure occurred. There's 25 that are listed from Fannie and Freddie. There is zero listed for Ginnie Mae. Zero. You know darn well that there have been FHA and VA foreclosures that are not showing up in here. And then further, when I dig down a little bit deeper on HomePath is a specific program that Fannie Mae offers, and it is advantageous financing. 6 of the 9 properties are listed as Fannie Mae owned. The other 3 are still in the owner's name. 3 of the 4 home steps, which is Freddie Mac's system, same thing. 3 are listed under Freddie's name, 1 is not. What's the shadow inventory? If we use those numbers, as basic as they are, it's somewhere between 25 and 33%. They're not even being counted.
And that's huge. And that's Matt, thanks for doing that research. I'd like to see a guest post maybe.
I'll try to do that.
It's really hard for those of us who spend every single day living and breathing this to really come up with accurate numbers and to give solid advice to our clients. And it's the shadow inventory is out there. No one has any idea what those numbers are. You know, I've seen estimates from various sources saying it's anywhere from 1 million to 5 or 7 million properties across the country.
But why would it be important? I can understand the person who owns it choosing to not include it as listed because they're waiting for the potential sale price to come back up.
Mm-hmm.
They're not shadow inventory, though. They're not foreclosed upon. If you're talking about the individual homeowner who is waiting to put it on the market until the market improves, that's a whole nother animal, not even shadow.
I think that that's a different kind of shadow inventory. If I knew about a property that wasn't on the market, it was for sale, and I took an offer on that property and they would sell, that to me is kind of shadow inventory. The people who have been waiting and not putting on the market but would sell, I think they're kind of, that's kind of shadow inventory. But the true definition is what the banks actually are foreclosing on or should foreclose on that aren't for sale. And it matters because that's, you know, if there are six houses on the street and they're all priced at $300,000 and the market says it's worth $300,000, and then there are really two that are foreclosed on but not yet put out there to the market, and they're going to come on the market at $220,000, that means that those other those additional four properties, that their valuations are artificially inflated because the true market isn't being seen. So when you don't have a transparent market, and that's being led by the banks and the government, you know, when you don't have a transparent market, it's impossible to determine what that true market is. And so, again, you know, I've said, I've written dozens of times, and I've said on the show here that the incompetence of the banks and the interference by the government are making it such that the market can't recover until all of the stuff gets sorted out. And, you know, again, everything that I read on a daily basis is saying that they're doing whatever they can through incompetence or malice to keep this ongoing for their own designs.
I'm aware of a white paper that's been written and has been presented to the Fed to try to liquidate these properties en masse. And the figure of 7 million, I've actually heard upwards of 9 million in shadow inventory.
Awesome.
1.6 is what's being reported. CoreLogic, you know, is the typical place that we would go to find that data. But there's a white paper been written to commoditize these properties. So you're not going to affect the local marketplace and the sales price. What they're going to be doing is buying $100 million worth of inventory, setting up a management company to rent those properties out, slowly over time throw them back in the marketplace to hopefully maintain the balance and the stability of the price point of where prices should be at this point.
11:28 on the Wake Up Call, talking about the real estate market. Matt Hodges and Jim Duncan in here. I don't know why I said Jim Duncan. Maybe I'm having thoughts about my last night. Let me take a moment and thank L. Oppelman's in here today. Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. Oppelman's music department now featuring acoustic guitars, mandolins, banjos, violins, as well as electric guitar packages and complete drum sets. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg, and at loppelman.com. Matt, talking about the number of homes out there, being a buyer's market, but one of the complaints or arguments being made about banks is that you can't get a loan. Yes, I want to buy the house. It's at a great price. The percentage is low, but I can't get a loan.
Yeah, that certainly has been a concern. And what I can tell you just anecdotally is when we are on our conference calls on a weekly basis, we talk about the fact that every loan is a challenge today. It can be a vanilla 30-year fixed, perfect credit, 20% down payment, and there's still challenges that come up that are partially due to what the government-sponsored entities, Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie, have done. But it's also these lender overlays. So if the rule is X, 45% debt-to-income ratio, let's say, any given lender can say, no, I want that to be 40 or else I'm not going to buy that loan. So you've got this wide variety of rules that overlap what the government-sponsored entities say they should be. And then we start getting really picky on things like appraisals. And maybe we should have been much more picky 5 years ago and not let everything slide through. Maybe we shouldn't have allowed non-warrantable condos to be financed just like single-family residences and put in those same pools of mortgage-backed securities that somebody thought that they were buying a AAA-rated bond when really they were buying a 95 or 100% loan-to-value non-warrantable condo. What's a non-warrantable condo? You know, it's got less than 50% owner occupants in it. And so there's a whole bunch of investors and renters. And we know that that classification is not going to maintain its value because renters don't do as much work to a property that an owner occupant would do, for example.
Jim, I'm going to throw this at you. An instant message question from Brad. Don't forget you can send the instant message WNRN Studio at the AOL site. You can call us with your question, 979-0919. Toll-free is 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Brad says, RealEstateVirginia.com is your site, correct?
RealCentralVA.com.
Yeah, see, I knew I was going to get that wrong. But Brad says that he saw at your website where you had made a comment about interest rates being irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting here talking earlier about how it was a great time to buy because interest rates were so low. Matt is talking about the difficulty, even if the rates are low and you have great credit, mm-hmm. being difficult. So how can the interest rates be irrelevant?
What I mean by that is that 4.25 is pretty much the same as 4.0, is pretty much the same as 3.85. I mean, that break point for most people is not going to make the determination of, okay, well, now I can buy a house. Where interest rates are going to start to matter and become more a part of the conversation is when they start to rise consistently and really impact people's buying decisions. Because right now they're low. I mean, they've been low for 3 to 4 years. People are accustomed to them being this low. So they're going to become much more a relevant topic to the conversation when people are talking about, you remember when the rates were 4.0 and now I'm looking at 6.25? Remember when they were 6.25? Well, God, I'm looking at 7% now. That's when they're going to start to become much more relevant. And the relevancy is going to become, one, buyers are going to be more incentivized to move quickly, I think, to buy it, to beat the increase in the interest rates. But also looking at it from say they go up to 6% next year. In 5 years, and when they're at 8%, what impact are those 8% interest rates going to mean to housing affordability, but also to home prices? Because home prices are driven in part by the interest rates. So if if it costs more to buy a $300,000 house in 5 years, that $300,000 house might be worth $270,000. So it's there's no easy answer to it, but the gist of it is the relevance of low interest rates is that people are accustomed to them. They're not going to become a greater part of the conversation until people are looking at them and saying, man, I remember when they used to be low.
All right, Brad, 20A, I hope that answers your question. Matt, we were, this little section talking about interest rates, doing my homework, talking to you guys. You can now finance 100% of the cost for your house? That has never happened before, correct?
Oh, no. It's happened for years. Yeah.
Really?
No, 100% absolutely exists. And I would say that it's become a greater part of the conversation recently. I've had more and more clients, anecdotally, of course, ask me about 100% financing. It used to be very easy to get 100%. You could do an 80% first and a 20% second to avoid mortgage insurance, and banks and lenders would do it all day long. The pool of 100% financing has shrunk significantly. So what's always existed? Veterans Administration loans. So you need to be a veteran. You need to have served in our armed forces or National Guard to be able to take advantage of that. But locally or statewide, there's a bond program called VHDA, Virginia Housing Development Authority, and they'll do 100% financing behind an FHA loan. So essentially, they'll put the 3.5% down payment in a loan that you make two payments on, one on the first, one on the second. You've also got an FHA, which is, again, 96.5% or 3.5% down payment. We have access to grant money that goes behind that as a five-year forgivable loan. The Federal Home Loan Bank out of Atlanta, we're one of their member companies. And we can give a client up to $5,000. And I use the term give very carefully because it is forgivable 20% per year over the next 5 years. So it's technically a loan, but it's also a grant. And then just in terms of, hey, if somebody needs to get into a house with less than 3.5% down, often we can tap a 401k and use a loan against it, not liquidating it, mind you, because we don't want to have the tax penalties, et cetera. But you can typically borrow against your 401k for a down payment to a house.
All right, 11:35 on the wake-up call, talking about the real estate market, Jim.
No, I was just going to say that's why, what Matt just said is why I choose to work with and recommend good professional people, because a lot of the stuff is complicated. And, one of the things that I recognize in this market is that there's an awful lot of information that can be found online through Google and Bing, et cetera. But finding, good, trusted knowledge and resources, in my worldview, having the right people involved is crucial. And it's just, I know what I do, and I do it fairly well, and also know the right people to contact. And I think it's important for buyers, sellers, consumers to know that, a lot of the stuff online, one thing I wanted to say is, and Matt, you can speak to this, the online mortgage rate calculators, a lot of people will go on to these, the Zillows, the bank rates, et cetera, and they'll plug in their basic information. And they'll say, well, gosh, I should be getting a 2.5% mortgage. And, Matt's saying it's only 4%. That's insane. What I found is that those mortgage rate calculators online don't actually do, justice to the process that is mortgage qualification. And so I think it's important for people to know that online stuff can give them a reasonable kind of a baseline. But that's all it is. It shouldn't be something they should use to rate shop different lenders to figure out what their accurate mortgage payment is.
Why not? You can do that with your car. I mean, there are sites now, right, where you go online and tell them what kind of used car you want, and it says, and you're supposed to print it out and take it to your car dealer and say, the computer says that the value of this car is $5,100. Why are you trying to sell it to me for $5,750?
Yeah,
Rick, why can't I do that with my house?
Rick, you've got multiple issues that you're dealing with financing. Loan level pricing adjustments is one. So what your credit score is will affect what your interest rate is. What down payment you've got will affect what your interest rate is. When you put down a smaller amount, do you have mortgage insurance on top of it? The calculators, as Jim mentioned, are very basic and don't give you the data. Also, they don't talk about programs that typically people would use. You might see 30-year amortization, but it's for a 5-1 ARM, means the interest rate only stays fixed for 5 years. And yeah, I can do that below 3% all day long with no points. But do you want a 5-1 ARM if you're going to stay in the house 10, 12, 30 years?
And we're assuming that this is the low point, so after 5 years, you're going to reset it to whatever the current point is then?
The 5-1 ARM is tied to LIBOR, London Interbank Offered Rate. It's currently 1.1. At a margin of 2.25, hey, that says 3 3/8 in future years is where my rate's going to be. No, it doesn't. After 5 years, LIBOR is going to be much higher because EU, the European Union, will have figured out what their issues are, and the true cost of borrowing money will be 5%, will be 6%. Add to that the margin, then you're talking about an ARM over 8.
And I'll step back on you talked about the valuations and saying my car is worth $5,000. Why can't I say the house is worth whatever the Zillow's estimate or the Albemarle County assessments are? Those online valuations, in my view, are and even in Zillow's view, if you I've written a bunch of stories about this, they're not accurate. I can't recommend highly enough for people to discount them. Discount their credibility because in Charlottesville, Albemarle, the Zestimates and the online valuations are just they're junk because these computers have not been in the houses. They haven't looked at the views. They haven't looked at what the house's true value is. They can't value the intrinsic value. They don't know the traffic noise. They don't know all these unzillowables. And the Albemarle County assessments just came out, and there's a wide range of values. Some are down 3%, some are down 20%, some are up 3%, some are up 5%. And, these are assessments that are tied to make to make the county money. And buyers look at them and sellers look at them as a measure of what their house may be. And psychologically, buyers look at them and say, well, the assessment's down. I should be paying that. I'd be hard-pressed to find a buyer who's going to say, well, the assessment's up, so I should pay more. They're going to say, well, the assessment's up. Ah, the assessments are crap. It's important for people to know that, again, back to what I said previously, there's a ton of information online of various levels of credibility, but I do think it's important to have somebody that you trust interpret and gauge the accuracy and the credibility and to put into a context that matters to that person. Because, I was telling some buyers yesterday, and I mean this with every sense of what I'm about to say. My role as a professional, I recognize that my guidance impacts people's their lives for 10, 15, 30 years. And so I think it's really incumbent upon me, and it's very humbling to know that that the advice and the information and the knowledge that I give people has to be as accurate as possible, but I also provide them the background and the context for them to evaluate it as well. So it's me providing the interpretation, but also the data so they can make their own interpretation of that information. So it's just there's a lot that goes into the housing market that people need to be aware of.
11:41 here on the Wake Up Call. Matt Hodges and Jim Duncan with us.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, they keep the drinks flowing, but bartenders do so much more. Part therapist, part cop, part host. The men and women behind the bar at your favorite place juggle it all. The Hook takes a look at a few of our favorites. Local legislators beginning this year's session in the General Assembly talk about their plans. And let's talk about the flaws in several of the most commonly promoted green initiatives. The Hook, no accessories needed. And today's programming on WNRN, also brought to you by Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, online, brgtshirts.com. And back with our guest today, Matt Hodges from Presidential Mortgage, Jim Duncan at Nest Realty, as we talk about the real estate market. We were talking about the new assessments are out there. Jim, how do you go online and look at yours? Or what I'm sure many people do is look at your neighbors and do that comparison, because you're like, wait a minute. You know, whether you believe that whoever is high or low, we both know that that's happening.
Right. Self-serving, go to realcentralva.com. I wrote a story about it. But to bypass that, I think it's you can go to albemarle.org, but I think the direct link is gisweb.albemarle.org. And I think that's for the, obviously for Albemarle County. The city of Charlottesville, I don't think they've released their assessments yet. This is an opportunity to talk about how the city of Charlottesville, I think, is delinquent in not providing historical real estate assessments. It's just an abomination that they don't have a good functional site for looking at the historical valuations. Fluvanna, you go to their website, has them. Louisa in Green has the current assessments as well. And I'm not sure if Nelson has it or not. But yeah, I think that it's important for people to know that they should be checking up on their assessments. And there's a lot of people out there who I think are going to look at their assessments this year and are going to want to challenge them. And they're going to see that it went up when in reality the market value is down. And Virginia's law says that the real estate assessments need to be 100% of market value. So it's important for people to know that the assessments are out and they should be checking up on them themselves for their own and also for their neighbors to see how they look. I mean, if there's consistency amongst them, there might be a realistic valuation.
And if you want to challenge it, by the way, you typically have a set period of time, 4 weeks or so, that you need to make that challenge and get in front of the assessor.
Right. And that's something that it's important to know the timelines. I'm not, they're publicized, but probably not as vigorously as they should be. But people need to know that they can challenge their assessments if need be and provide the documentation and the evidence to back it up so that they can go in and have a strong case to say, I want my taxes to be lower. But the other side, just to take it a little bit farther, the assessments, they drive our local government's economies. They provide the bulk of their income. So the assessments are, the county's working on the budget now. I mean, they really impact the funding for our schools, the funding for, I laugh when I say transportation. They don't actually do anything. But they drive the schools, the county budget, employment. I mean, the whole bailiwick of the local county, local governments are driven in large part by the real estate assessments. So it is important for people to be aware of. I mean, I want to educate people so they know where to go for things, so that they are educated, so that when things happen, they're not surprised.
Again, talking about real estate with Matt Hodges and Jim Duncan. Jim, I think you mentioned the word bureaucracy earlier in the program in terms of how real estate, and I think you said, what the other word you used, but I want to say criminal, that you might have used a different word, but you were showing some displeasure with government and banking in terms of real estate.
I think, you know, it's by being involved in short sales and foreclosures and reading about HAMP and HARP and TARP and whatever acronym the government's using today, I'm finding that, and again, this is purely my opinion, that I think the government's interference is delaying the recovery of the market.
Absolutely.
By trying to shore up and stabilize the market, they're preventing the market from happening. And the market, you know, again, it's something that I think that, you know, it's one of the reasons I've been watching the Republican debates as heavily as I am, because, it's important to know where these people stand on, again, presuming the president can actually get anything done. It's important to know where they stand, because the government has, for the last three, four years, has been trying to stabilize the housing market, and every opportunity they failed miserably. And it's not president, it's not House, it's not Senate, it's the entirety of the government bureaucracy has failed at shoring up the housing market, when really the market just needs to happen, because everything that they do provides uncertainty. And we really need some sort of stability and certainty to enter the market. And everyone always wonders, what are they going to do next, when we just need to say, you know what, don't do anything.
Yeah, what did they do next? Well, one of the things they just did is Congress passed a two-month extension for the payroll deduction. Two-month payroll deduction, okay? Not much. We're paying for it for 2 years in terms of 10 basis points higher in interest rates. That's roughly going from 4 to 4 1/8. For all 30 years of your mortgage. That's what Congress just did to help out the housing industry.
But we heard earlier from Jim that that's irrelevant.
Interest rates are irrelevant. Government's interference in the housing market and saying that, advocating for or against principal write-downs is challenging the bank's autonomy, which, again, I think the government writes or backs 90% of all mortgages now anyway, in some capacity. So it's, you can't get away from the government, but you can recognize it and be aware of what their impact is.
Matt, wasn't there some other decision, important decision, that I saw the headline for and didn't do my homework about? Something by the federal government on Wednesday?
Yeah, this past week, the Federal Reserve, which meets about every 6 weeks or so, they have a two-day meeting typically, and they release minutes from what they decide to do. So all the board, the different presidents, and Richmond has one of them, get together and they vote on what policy is going to be. One of the most important things they came out with was that the federal funds rate, so that's what the interest rate that they charge member banks to borrow money from them, is going to be pegged at 0 to 0.25%, just like it has been for the last year, year and a half. It's now going to be pegged to late 2014. That was an important bit of news, because it gave some confidence, some stability to lenders, that they can lend to corporations that want to expand. They want to build a factory. They want to hire new employees. They know that their borrowing costs are going to be small for the next several years.
All right. We are talking about real estate and the local market with Jim Duncan and Matt Hodges. Jim, one of the things that I found interesting as we exchanged notes beforehand, the gas prices and the impact on the housing market.
Huge. I mean, right now gas is, I thought it was 327 or 337 at the BP when I was coming over. Gas prices, when I look back to when they were $4.05 a gallon, that was, in our area, that was a world shift. People, were making different decisions about how they lived, not just going to get groceries or doing multiple errands in a trip or carpooling. They were making, very, very critical decisions about where they live and how they live. So in almost every single one of my buyers is bringing it up. And it could be because I've written about this stuff for years and my buyers read what I write. But I think it's more than that. I think the buyers are cognizant of the fact that not if, but when housing prices or gas prices go up to $5 or $6 a gallon while they're living in their home for 10 to 30 years, what impact is that going to be? And what that's leading to is them making decisions about being closer to stuff. It's one of the reasons that I think that people are buying in the city, near urban areas, near the various town centers we have around here, one of the reasons that Crozet has done so well relatively over the last several years is because they've gotten more stuff. And so people want, they're making decisions about.
When you mean stuff, you mean that they put a grocery store out there so they don't have to come into town?
Right.
You know what you mean by stuff?
I mean, I just sort of define, you know, our limited American civilization as access to grocery store and coffee shop and a farmer's market. You know, and if you're close to those, that sort of that triumvirate, we're really seeing that people are happy enough where they can live there. And so people are making decisions to be within 2 to 5 miles of stuff. And the ones who are buying beyond that are making, you know, similarly thoughtful decisions about why and where they want to live. But people are understanding that in 5-6 years, travel patterns are likely to be different. And so they want to make sure that they're buying today in 2012 in a place where they're going to be happy staying closer to home or, alternatively, walking or biking. And those are two components that more and more of my buyers are asking about. I think it's, you know, Google, I think I've got a story coming up next week. Google released bicycle directions the other day for more cities. Google's not going to do anything just because. They're going to release these directions because people are demanding bicycle directions. And people are, you know, walk scores, one of the functions that I use on my site and with my conversation with my buyers. People want to know what a walk score is. They want to know what bike score is. They want to know how accessible these things are to the house or the home that they're looking to buy. So it's not something that's trivial or frivolous. I mean, people want to know, how can I get places? Can I walk? Can I bike? Can I get there without sitting in tremendous amounts of traffic? And so gas prices affect so much. I mean, they affect food prices. They affect, you know, construction prices, which construction prices are going up significantly right now. I mean, drywall, I just got an email from a builder saying that drywall prices are going up 35%. You know, these are all things that are impacting our economy. And a lot of it's driven by, you know, gas prices, you know, what's happening in Iran, what's happening overseas. There are so many things that impact whether my people want to buy a house tomorrow.
11:53 on the wake up call. Drew Thompson just walked in and he's here to do Les Temps Perdue at noon. Drew always features the best in 80s and 90s alternative. You'll hear some bands like NXS, White Zombie, Jesus and Mary Chain, as well as your requests. Call up Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Caliente. And The Backyard also allows us to be on air every Sunday. The Backyard is UVA Corner's culinary secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. Backyard has a seasonal menu, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. The Backyard is now open on Sundays, serving brunch, and then a pub food menu until close. For more information, it's 434-202-8215. They have a Facebook page. Online, it's thebackyarduva.com. Guys, I asked Matt about the decisions that the Federal Reserve made. But, Jim, you sent me a link about some National Association of Realtors revisions.
Yes. The NAR was... And again, I've written for years about how I don't entirely trust what they say, and rightfully so. I mean, they're a trade group there to, you know, to speak on behalf of the realtors, which is what any trade group should do. You know, the UAW is not going to say don't buy a car. So again, with that, the NAR revised their home sales numbers for the past several years and went downward. Again, I think that in the Charlottesville area, most people have recognized that stuff coming out of trade groups tends to be skewed, and people are looking at alternative places. There was a story recently saying that the Wall Street Journal had put together an aggregation of the top 4 or 5 economists or economic scales, you know, Case-Shiller being one of them, and the NERs was left off. You know, it affects the psychological perspective of buyers and sellers. But as the time has gone on, I think that the impact of their revisions has been minimized just because it's not as relevant as some would like it to be.
One of the reasons why the revisions went downward, I believe, had to do with the MLS systems being mm-hmm. double counted in a primary versus a secondary MLS.
Right. A little more explanation on that, please.
In our market area, we have overlapping multiple listing systems. So in some cases, a house on 123 Main Street will be listed in the Charlottesville MLS, but also might be listed in the Waynesboro MLS, and it also might be listed in the Northern Virginia MLS. So filtering those results out from saying there's three sales, when in actuality 123 Main Street sold one time, was a challenge. So it's just it's the difficulty of trying to put together a national economic data, and that's why I've said for 10 years, read local sources that are actually doing this, you know, boots on the ground analysis.
This is WNRS. This is WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg, as well as WNRN Charlottesville. Thanks for listening today as we talk with Jim Duncan and Matt Hodges. Just a question or two left, guys. You're telling me that the interest rates are down.
Mm-hmm.
Has that affected the length of time from when you say, you know what, honey, let's buy a house, to when it actually finishes and the job is complete? And if so, if you have a deadline for, you know, we need to do this by the end of the summer when the kids go to school, or, you know, we're moving here, people coming into town because they're moving here at a certain time frame, what's the length of time for the transaction to happen, and when should you start?
I mean, I'm seeing that, again, the gestation period for the clients with whom I work, it tends to be from anywhere from 9 to 18 to, you know, 36 months. By the average, it's usually, you know, 18 months or so for people who are doing their research and are ascertaining where they want to live. They're figuring out, you know, they're figuring out where they don't want to live. They're figuring out where they do want to live, where they're, you know, taking their kids to dance or soccer.
Are you talking about neighborhoods or individual spots?
It gets to neighborhoods, but it starts with, you know, I break down our area into several different, you know, categories and geographical areas. But once they identify and say, you know, I want 20 on North or Pantops, then they isolate that geographical area, and that's their search area. But you know, when the interest rates, you know, late last year when the Fed, you know, sort of gave indication they were going to stay low for quite some time.
QE2.
Yeah, you know, that gave my buyers confidence to say, okay, well, I don't have to rush right now, which is really good. And I would much rather people take their time to make a life-altering decision.
Go ahead.
But I think that the longevity of people's buying processes, you know, briefly, from contract to close is anywhere from 30 to 90 days.
And Matt, apply that to the loan, because
sure,
we were talking earlier about how somebody with the perfect setup of the 20% down payment and the great credit, et cetera, is still having to go through this tremendous setup with potential problems.
Yeah. So to add a little bit to what Jim said, the client I met with this morning before coming in here has been in the area here for 18 months. They own a house in another state that they're renting out, but they've been renting here. So it's taking them 18 months to get to the point where they want to purchase again here. And whether that's because they know they're upside down in the other state in their house, and they're cautiously moving in here, or they were worried about their employment situation, whatever the case may be, they took that full time period. Okay. Now, skipping to when a contract is written, we're going to work within the confines of that contract. So it's typically written for 45 to 60 days. We need to have a loan commitment to the realtor to make sure that the borrower can qualify, and then we need to close it on time. Even if the contract says on or about, we need to meet that date, or else there's going to be upset movers and homeowners and realtors involved in the process. We can do something as quickly as 2 weeks if need be.
All right, guys. Jim, your website, realcentralva.com?
Yes, and I'm going to put a story up. As soon as the podcast is up, I'll do a story with links and show notes to give much broader and more in-depth links to people who are interested.
All right, guys, we'll have you back a couple months from now, talk about what's going on.
Excellent.
Real quick, is the market going up or down from here? More sales in 2012, or is it flat?
Freddie Mac said 5% increases year over last year.
I wouldn't be surprised to see an increase in volume, but hopefully medium prices are going to stabilize.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Duncan, Nest Realty, Matt Hodges, Presidential Mortgage.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon Gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.